Welcome to the Her Vibe is Pretty podcast, where you'll be guided on how to step up into your evolved woman,
design your dream life, and start living it.
Let's get vibey.
What's up, Pretty Vibe Tribe? Welcome back to another episode of Her Vibe is Pretty. Today, we are going to be talking all about perfectionism and overachieving.
Sarah, do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
I used to identify with this so much. I was totally the girl. Everybody used to always joke, oh, when you go into an interview, everybody always says their weakness is perfectionism. Like, that's just a way to try to get the job. But I was that girl. I would always tell people my weakness is that I'm a perfectionist. I identified with it so closely, and it really, truly ran a lot of my life. And so, no, not anymore, though. What about you, Mary?
Yay, good. I actually consider myself more of an overachiever. I think that's where I would fall historically, although there definitely was a little sprinkle of perfectionism in there for sure. And I know for me, my perfectionist side really started to like come full on when I started my business. That really shined a light on it there and, and did become a thing that I had to work through. So kind of like you, sort of definitely have elements of that. And same with the overachieving, this need to just like always be going above and beyond. And that's hands down was me in school all growing up.
Oh, me too. So yeah, the school thing, I was totally a perfectionist overachiever there too. Let's just start out by talking about why this takes such a toll on an individual's quality of life. I want to give an example real quick. So I'm sure you've all been here, but there was a point in college where I would literally call my mom having nervous breakdowns, crying because I was so nervous about a test the next day. I was so nervous that I wasn't going to get straight A's. I was so nervous that I wasn't going to get the project finished, this and that. I would literally beat myself up about things if they weren't perfect. I would do a presentation in class, and if something was a little off or if I tripped up over a word, as I'm tripping up over my words, I would get so upset about it. And like I mentioned in the beginning, it just takes a dive on your overall quality of life. And it caused me so much stress, so much ruckus, so much chaos, so many hours. It literally just cost me so many hours because I would be thinking about something that literally didn't matter. If I tripped up over a word or two, guarantee you nobody noticed. Like, nobody left the class thinking about how I screwed up over a word. And I used to let that get to me.
It resonates too. I feel so similar. Like, I think back to college years and how stressed I would get over all of the homework assignments and having to get everything done. Like you said, getting good grades, studying for final exams, the pressure that I would put on myself was a lot. And again, that goes hand in hand with that perfectionism, that need to overachieve, to not just get a passing grade, but to get an A.
Yeah. And then I'm sure you've all realized too that if this plays a role in any area of your life, I love the quote that says, wherever you go, there you are. So what this means is that however you show up in one area of your life is how you're showing up in all the rest of the areas of your life in one way or another. So this perfectionism overachieving thing can seep into every area. It can show up in school, in your business, in relationships, in the self work. And so what this means is that if you start any new endeavor in your life, this perfectionism overachieving thing is going to seep into that as well. So for example, I was a perfectionist. Well, let's just go way back to sports in high school. I was a perfectionist in sports in high school, an overachiever there. I wanted to do it all. I wanted to get good grades in high school. I wanted to be the good student. I wanted to be the good athlete. I wanted to be the good daughter. That took me on to college and being a perfectionist there. Then I graduated and I wanted to make a lot of money right away. And so I really got put a lot of pressure on myself to get a job. And then I moved to Spain and I was a perfectionist when I was over there teaching, and I always put pressure on myself. And then that also seeped into when I started my business. And then also when I started my self-help journey, because if I wasn't progressing as fast as one of my peers, or if I did a meditation and it didn't land with me like it landed with somebody else, I would freak out over it. So this literally can dampen every single area of your life.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm feeling that too. I mentioned feeling that need to always get good grades in school, feeling that need to always go above and beyond. You can't just do the baseline. It had to be so much more than that. And here I am starting my business, and there is a lot of pressure. And in some areas, see, and so that's where I can go a little back and forth, because in some areas I'm like, nope, let's just roll with it, baby. I don't care if it's perfect or not. But then there's other things that I put this pressure on, that if I don't get this extraordinary result, I failed. It wasn't good enough, or it was a waste of my time. And it's a balance. I'm working on, very much working on that.
Yeah. So if you start to dive into this perfectionism and you start to heal it and disidentify with it, it will just lighten up in whatever area it's showing up for you. Mary and I, over the weekend, we celebrated the 4th together, and we were out on Mary's boat with a few girls talking about the podcast, and this perfectionism thing got brought up. And I was talking to one of the women, and she was like, yeah, you know, I had a presentation to do at work, and I put it off for a week because I'm such a perfectionist and I wanted it to be perfect. And there I was creating the presentation an hour and a half before I had to present it. And it sucked. And I asked her, I'm like, okay, how many times did you think about that presentation and creating it from the time you were assigned it to the time that you did actually create it? And she said, a bazillion. And I'm like, exactly. So she pointed out how being a perfectionist leads to procrastination. And it's so true. And it's like, and then I asked her, my question was, what would it have been like if you let go of the perfectionism, if you just knew, if you just decided that you weren't going to do the presentation until an hour and a half before you were to present it, you just decided that, you let go of it having to be perfect, and you put all of those thoughts that you put into the presentation and doing the presentation into something else that would better yourself or further level you up in your career or toward your evolved woman? And she's like, yeah, that would have been a game changer.
Isn't that so funny how we almost use procrastination as an excuse to put something off or to not take that action because it needs to be so perfect? And oh, well, maybe I need to do more studying, or I need to do more prep, or I need to do more XYZ, you name it, before you even get started doing it. When in all reality, all we're really doing is just procrastinating, spending more time worrying, feeling stressed over it, feeling overwhelmed. Hello, that's me all the time.
Yeah.
And we're really just wasting this precious time.
Yes.
When we could be spending it in such a better way. Wow.
It's so true. It's so true. And if you think about it, when we're all tripped up over making things perfect, we're not living in the present moment. We're living either in the past, all upset about how something wasn't perfect, or we're living in the future, thinking about whether this thing is going to be perfect or not. And nothing good comes of that, ever. Living in the present moment, we've talked on this podcast before about the power of now, is the most powerful thing that one can do for his or her human experience. The now, living in the now is, I mean, that's enlightenment, and not a lot of people completely achieve that. But the point is, being a perfectionist keeps you in the past or in the future. So let's talk about why so much of society today tends to be perfectionist or overachievers, and where this comes from. First of all is limiting beliefs. Mary and I have talked about this time and time again.
Everything comes back to these limiting beliefs. And after we recorded our episode on it, I've been doing a lot of work around my own. And it's so obvious how this need to overachieve, this need for things to be perfect or to appear as perfect to other people, whittles down to feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you're not worthy. Again, how many times we'll say it again, the worthiness wound. And I can absolutely see how my need for all of these things just all drives back to that. Do you feel like those are the two major ones, or is there a different one that you think it could play into as well?
Yes, I would say not being good enough, that core belief of not, that I'm not good enough. And yeah, the worthiness for sure. Those are the two biggest limiting beliefs that perfectionism is attached to. So if you don't think that you're good enough, then at the core of who you are, then what you're going to do is try to make things perfect in order to prove that you're good enough. Mm-hmm. And the same with worthiness. If you feel unworthy at the core of who you are, you're going to try to make up for that and become a worthy being in this society by being perfect. But here's the thing, is that perfection isn't even a real thing.
Right? We're human. Illusion. Like, it doesn't even exist.
No.
So that was something that I was thinking about too. I might be jumping a little ahead here, but I was thinking about that as well, because in my mind, I'm like, I don't really like hanging out with people who are perfect all the time and don't have any vulnerability and no flaws and just feel almost belittling, like they are above or they are better than you, which maybe that goes back to a worthiness wound or being good enough, but it just doesn't feel real and authentic. We're human.
Do you actually know somebody like that? You know somebody who's perfect? I can't think of anybody. I mean, like, I can think of people who try to come off as perfect.
Sure.
And try to come off as like, I'm, you know, I'm better than you because I'm perfect and I'm this and I'm that and I have the perfect this, this and that, perfect life. But at the end of the day, they're not.
That's the whole thing with social media that people say, you know, it's the highlight reel. It's always showing the best version of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's, I guess I can't say no one because some people do, but most people don't share the low points. They don't share the flaws. They don't share where they messed up.
Right.
They don't share the embarrassments. They don't share those things.
Yeah.
And you're right. No one is perfect. We're human. We're human beings. We're not made to know everything, to do everything perfectly. And even what does that mean?
It's right.
Like it's in the eye of the beholder. Like what's perfect version of something for one person is not going to be perfect for everyone else, right?
I was just going to say that. It's
so
true.
Then
it's an illusion.
So here we are. Yeah, we're putting all this pressure on ourselves to be this fake, right now, like fake perfect person, and it doesn't even exist. It's not even an attainable goal.
No, you guys, I'm literally laughing. Like we're literally giggling right now at how much of an illusion this is. So all of us are like beating ourselves up, inviting so much stress and anxiety into our lives because of this perfectionism thing when it's not even real because perfection doesn't exist. So I want to go a little bit deeper here. Yes, it does come from limiting beliefs, but it goes deeper than that even. So a lot of the time, perfectionism, and hang with me here because this is going to sound a little extreme, but I'm going to explain, comes from father wounding or sometimes mother wounding. When I say wounding, I know that sounds like, oh my God, something tragic happened to my father or with my father when I was young. And that's not what I mean. Yes, something tragic that happened to your father or with your father could create this father wounding in your body for sure, but it doesn't have to be extreme. When I first heard of the father mother wounding thing, I was the girl who was like, nope, my parents are my best friends. They're amazing. I had a great childhood. I'm so lucky. I don't have that. But it was false. I dug deeper and I'm like, holy shit, yeah, I do. That's where the perfectionism stuff totally came from. So perfectionism is a very masculine dominated trait, which is why it usually comes from the father wounding. But like I said, it can come from mother as well. So usually when women are perfectionists, it's because of some unhealed energy or trauma between us and our dads. Once again, take the word trauma lightly because that doesn't mean something like really crazy happened between you and your dad.
That was an eye-opener for me too, because when I've heard these terms, and I have not nearly gone as deep into it as you have, Sarah, but as I hear these words of trauma and wounding, yeah, you think this really over the top, you know, when you hear the word trauma, you think of something extreme. And I've come to learn from talking to you and from different books I've read and things I've, you know, come across that that's not what it means. It doesn't have to be anything extreme. It can be something extreme, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. So before you're kind of quick to just write that off, like, nope, not me. I just ask you to be a little curious and just dive in and see what comes up and see if anything does, you know, relate where you're like, oh, okay, I get that. That's experience could be where I started getting this need to overachieve, this need to be perfect all the time.
Yeah. Hang out with me for a couple more minutes because I'm going to explain a little bit deeper here. If you were praised on accomplishment as a kid, so let's say when you were little, you would get good grades or you would score a goal in soccer or you would paint a beautiful picture and bring it to one of your parents, your dad or your mom, in an attempt to get love. And they would be like, oh my God, good job. We metabolize that as I need to work hard and then I will be loved. I need to do things perfectly and then I will be loved. And that's why we are such overachievers and perfectionists. A lot of the times, if you have any sort of absence, and I'm going to flow through three of them here. If you have any sort of absence from your birth father, father wounding is created. This can come up in the obvious absence, like adoption or separation, abandonment, neglect, aggression, that creates an absence from your birth father. Now, the second one that I'm going to go through is so present for, this was present for me, and I think is a present for a lot of women, because males tend to be very, very masculine. So if your father was physically present, but not really super emotionally present, that can create father wounding in the body as well. So a lot of the times, men in today's society are taught to not be emotional. I see it all the freaking time. I literally see this all the time. A kid will fall down and their dad will be like, you're fine, suck it up, you're good, right? Because that's their innate masculine energy being like, no, be tough, be strong.
Right.
Obviously, they're doing the best they can for what they know. You know, they want their children to be strong and to be able to handle pain. They just haven't done this work, and that's okay. But, and a lot of the times too, when men have daughters, unless they were raised to be this way, they're not really taught how to have a bond, like an emotional bond with the female. It's kind of like, okay, it's a girl, like they'll take care of their daughter. Of course, like my dad, for example, an amazing dad, came to all my soccer games, was always there for me, coaching me. Like he definitely picked me up when I was feeling down here and there, but he didn't know much about girl stuff. You know, he wasn't like, he didn't talk to us about love life and relationships and boyfriend. Like I remember once, this is so funny, God bless my dad, love him, but I was bawling my eyes out in high school because I had just gotten broken up with for the first time with the love of my life. And I was outside by my car bawling my eyes out, and my dad came out and he was like, it's fine, like you'll find somebody else. Like he was just being so, like he was just like looking at me like, really, are you this upset about it? It's just a guy, he's not anything special, like, you're so young. And he just said it in such like a male way and wasn't emotionally there for me, which is fine. And I, now looking back, I see what he saw, obviously, but in that moment I was really hurt. And so if your father was there present, or if he was physically present but not emotionally, this wound could have been created. And then also, if your dad withheld love at all, and you felt when you were little that you had to prove yourself in order to get love, then father wounding is also created in the body. And we usually externalize how we heal this through perfectionism. So it's like, okay, if your dad didn't just show you love and give you attention all the time like your mom did, or vice versa, like I said, this still can come from the mother stuff. It usually comes from father, but it can come from mother. And you felt like you had to achieve in order to get your dad's love and attention. You had to, like I said, get the good grades, or you had to score the goals, be the best athlete. I remember for a long time, I thought that I had, like, I really, my dad's really big in hunting and fishing. And so I thought I had to be a fisher or a hunter, and I had to be interested in that in order to get my dad's approval, or I had to make all the money and get the good job, and my business had to be a success from the get-go in order to get his love and attention and affection. And that's why we are such perfectionists and overachievers. But at the end of the day, it's usually false. I have the perfect example. So Mary and I are both going to talk about examples in a second. But my coaching business, for example, when I first started, like I just had all this pressure on me to be perfect and to overachieve and just to create this massive business from the get-go. And when it was more of a struggle than I thought, I was really upset. And like, I remember my dad and I having a really deep conversation, probably for one of the first times in my life. And he was like, listen, things don't, like this don't happen overnight. I could get emotional, talk about it. I'm also on my period, so I'm emotional. It's like, this was just a false reality I was living. Like I thought I had to overachieve and create perfection in order for my dad to love me. Deep down, that's what I thought. Consciously, I knew that was false, and I knew that he would always love me. But my inner child, who had this father wounding, didn't know that. So when he had that conversation with me, I was like, oh my God, like I don't have to have this massive business in order to still be loved. And it's true for everybody. I mean, even if you are somebody who was actually separated physically from your father or abandoned or whatever, like you still are very loved just because you are a soul in this physical body. And I know that that kind of healing can be a little bit more to heal, but this isn't an episode about how to heal the father wounding, because that takes deeper coaching for sure. But just start to become aware of this. Like, how did your father or your mother give you love when you were little? Were you praised on accomplishment growing up? Was there any separation, emotional or physical, from your father or any kind of wounding there? Because if it was, I guarantee you that is where this perfectionism and overachieving is coming from. I mean, it's just your inner child trying to get love and to be loved.
I love, wow, Sarah, that went so deep. And thank you for sharing all of your knowledge with us. I resonated with so much of that because, again, the whole mother wounding, father wounding is very new to me. I have not done much work around either of those. However, when you say all those things about, you know, praising children for their accomplishments, we've all probably done that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even around kids very often.
Totally.
And I have for sure done that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes so much sense how, as a child in our little child brain, we are learning that when we do good things, when we achieve, when we create, when we succeed, we get praised for that. And
right,
so
right.
We feel this need, we embody that need to continue that through our adult life.
Yeah,
and through being perfect, through overachieving, whether it's in school, in sports, in business, and you name it.
Right. And we've brought up inner child a couple of times. We're going to keep getting deeper into the inner child, but the inner child's running the show. So if your inner child thinks that in order to be loved, I must do X, Y, and Z, that's controlling your life right now. And so that's why you continue to overachieve and be a perfectionist, is because you think that's the only way to get love. Your inner child does. This can be very, very unconscious. Like, you literally might not realize until right now when we talk about it that this is going on. But it is. So just start to become super observant and to dig in here and just bring so much awareness to it and be humble about it and be open-minded about it. And don't think that even if your bestie is with your dad, that this doesn't exist. Like I said, maybe it came from your mom. Maybe she was the one you felt like you had to prove yourself to, and that's fine. Everybody's stories are different, but just get really aware. This changes the game. So why don't we jump into some personal stories, Mary? Where in your life were you being a perfectionist and then you decided no more, put your foot down, shifted it, let go, and ended up still being okay with the results anyway?
Yeah, I mentioned this in the beginning. A lot of it came to light for me in my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my online yoga business by posting Instagram tutorials, yoga Instagram tutorials. And I was scared to do that because I didn't know if my poses were going to be perfect. Everyone knows the online space can be freaking harsh sometimes, and people can be really particular and like, you're not a good teacher. You don't know what you're doing. And I felt really nervous about that. Like that, I was scared. I was scared of getting called out for not being perfect or for not having a perfect pose or for not knowing the perfect cue to share for whatever. And I found that I was spending an insane amount of time editing or re-recording things that weren't quite perfect. And it was just a huge burden. And I'm really thankful because I listened to a podcast and I forget 100% which one it was. I think it was Life Coach School, something like that. But I listened to this episode and she talked about B-minus work. And this model really, really stuck with me because the whole concept is, do not let your work need to be perfect before you put it out in the world. Allow it to be at a B-minus rating if you're in school to put it out. You don't want it to be bad. You know, you don't want it to be untrue or not accurate or just low quality. But you also, if you wait until it's perfect, again, we've talked about how perfection is this mythical thing that doesn't actually exist. if you wait for it to be perfect, you're going to be holding yourself back. You're going to be holding your message back. You're going to be putting this unrealistic pressure on yourself, and you're never going to get anything done. And that is ultimately a disservice to the world, because if you don't let your message be heard because it needs to be perfect, then you're not helping so many people who would get so much value out of the B- work you did put out. Mm-hmm. So I learned about that and I was like, mind blown, girl. I was like, dang, that just makes so much sense. And it took that pressure and weight off of my shoulders. So I started then to just be okay with the little mix-ups or the little mess-ups. And again, doing my best. You know, I want to be teaching proper poses, again, creating these yoga tutorials. But I wasn't quite as hard on myself if something was a little bit off. And honestly, I was so relieved because I've even received messages from people who are like, your tutorials are so relatable. I love it because they're things I can actually do. I love that you're, you know, really good at so many poses, but you're not perfect at some things, and you share that, and it's refreshing to see that. And so learning that it's okay to put stuff out there, even if it's not absolutely perfect, or feeling this need to just redo the entire thing, is actually a blessing in disguise, because it makes myself come across more relatable, more genuine, more real, which is ultimately what I want to do. You know, I don't want to come across as this, hey, your yoga practice needs to be perfect or else don't even bother doing it. So that was a big one for me, was creating that content and knowing that it doesn't need to be perfect to put it out. As long as it's B minus, roll with it. And I've done that with my tutorials. I've done that with the videos that I've made on my app. There are some that I do need to redo because I look back and I'm a little cringy, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I have this video. But at the time, that was my version of B minus work. Mm-hmm. And over the last couple of years, I've gotten a lot better at it. And I've continued to put myself out there. I've continued to create. And I have become a more perfect, if you will, a better version of what I was before. But I'm mm-hmm. so dang proud of myself for not holding myself back and just not doing any of it because it needed to be perfect. And it right. wasn't.
Because if you would have held yourself back and waited until it was perfect, who knows where you'd be right now, right? Right. That's an amazing story. I love that. Mine's so similar. This goes along with starting my business as well. So first with coaching, I graduated from health coaching school and I thought my coaching program needed to be perfect before I launched it. I had a coach at the time who convinced me that that was not true. And I just put my faith, I borrowed his belief and I launched it anyway, and it was not perfect and I still succeeded, and so did my clients. And that was kind of my first proof that, okay, wow, I can take messy action. Everything doesn't need to be perfect. The second way that this played a huge role in my life was with my Instagram post. So when I started posting about everything that I learn and everything that we talk about on this podcast, I put that off for a long time. I put that off for about 6 months after I started acquiring and studying and getting the knowledge and the wisdom that I have today, because I was nervous that it wasn't going to be perfect and that people were going to be confused when I started posting about it. And what would this person say? And what would that person say? And what would people think of me? And I can't talk about this stuff yet until I've fully processed it, until I, you know, every single detail about every single topic that I'm talking about. And eventually I just woke up one morning and I was like, okay, enough is enough. And I started with an Instagram story and I got amazing feedback. It was beautiful. And that just kind of gave me the proof that I needed, that it doesn't need to be perfect. There's always more information that I could be learning about all of this stuff. There's so much information out there. We can't even fathom it. That's when I really started to overcome this whole perfectionism thing. And this is a great example too. In the past, if I would have posted an Instagram story and I would have accidentally spelled a word wrong, or if autocorrect would have, like, that's what happens a lot. Autocorrect changes words to words I didn't mean to say. The old me would have went back and deleted those stories or corrected myself. The new me, the non-perfectionist me, the me that doesn't identify with being a perfectionist or an overachiever, if I mess something up, I'm like, I literally don't care at all. Like, I don't care. Anybody who's going to judge me for that, that's on them, not on me. And yeah. So I can say that by dropping the perfectionist identity and accepting, like Mary, you were saying, the B minus work. And first of all, by accepting B minus work, it's really made my work A worthy for sure, just naturally, because I don't have all this pressure on myself and I just flow and I'm more me. And me being more me and making a couple mistakes in my eyes is A work.
Totally. It's, you know, so much, I mean, more genuine. It's so much, it's more like relatable.
The C, no one work, the D work is like the perfect stuff that I've been working on for a year. That's probably outdated by the time I put it out because I've been struggling with it for a year. So I can tell you what, you guys, making the shift feels like 1,000 weights being lifted off of your shoulders. It feels so freeing. I just did a post the other day on Instagram about being free and what it truly means to be free. And I'll tell you that this dropping this identity that I carried so tightly for so long really allowed me to step deeper into my freedom and living a free life as myself, as my true self, as my evolved woman. And Mary, we have to talk about this podcast too, because this was 120% messy action.
This, I actually love telling the story about how we created this podcast because, I mean, yes, so much messy action. Sarah and I had no idea what we were doing when we first got started, but we were having these amazing, deep, inspirational conversations that we just felt so inspired to share. And we were like, hey, let's make a podcast. Do you know how to make a podcast? No. Do you? No. All right, well, let's figure it out. And I don't know, a week and a half later, I believe, released our first episode.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that we did it.
We've gotten so much feedback from all of you talking about how much this has changed your life and how much this has helped you. And if we wouldn't have taken messy action and if we sat there being worried about being perfect, because did we know how to start a podcast at first? No, neither one of us had done it before. But if we sat there hung up on like all the details of what this podcast is going to look like and planned out every single episode to the T and try to do it perfectly, we wouldn't be sitting here putting out this episode today. So This is proof of why taking messy action and, you know, accepting the B minus work that will eventually just turn into A work because you'll be being your free self is a key to your happiness, your freedom, your bliss, and your quote unquote success.
And this is another point I want to make about the creating, about putting self out there, about being okay with things not being completely perfect as you put things out into the world, as you take any sort of action. If you tend to be a perfectionist, you tend to also be your own worst critic. So you are going to notice a million more errors, if you will, about whatever it is you're creating compared to anyone else that's coming across it. Now, it doesn't mean there's not going to be assholes out there that will catch, you know, the flaws and call you out for them. But you mentioned that, Sarah, that's on them. That's not on you. Mm-hmm. And if someone's going to be so offended or so put off that you have an error, that just speaks volumes about them. And trust me, stay true to not having that need to be perfect, because we tend to be our own worst critic. Things that we notice about ourselves, about the things we put out there, are usually not looked at. Like, Sarah, I've never noticed like a misword in any of your posts. Like, I wouldn't notice that, but you would, because you probably have just like a finer eye on that. Like, you're looking at it much more detailed, and keep that in mind, because as you do start to take steps to overcome this need for perfection, know that people probably aren't even going to notice some of the things that you're noticing about yourself.
Right. Let's also talk about too, how sometimes, Mary, I know that you and I both have had these thoughts when creating something new. We think if it's not perfect, we're just wasting our time.
Oh my gosh, Sarah, this one is like really hitting home for me right now. Totally. Yeah. So I'm working on some other projects that I've never done before, and I am seeing this need to do it perfect the first time around really sneaking in. And when we talked about doing our episode on this topic, I was like, hell yes, I need this episode so bad, because it's totally one of those things where, yeah, if I don't do it perfect from the very beginning, then it's like, why even bother doing it at all? Because I don't want it to be a waste of my time.
Yeah.
And I say that out loud and I like laugh at myself, like, shut up. That's so stupid, but it's such a real thought. And it's something that I tell a lot of my yoga students, especially as they're beginning, which I specialize in beginner yoga. It's okay for things not to be perfect. That's why we practice. We practice so that we can become better and better and better at it. But if you go into a yoga class and say, well, I'm not going to do this unless it's perfect, then there's no point, because chances are you're not going to be perfect at something you've never done before. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be a beginner. It's okay to have that beginner mindset. And this is advice to myself as well, because I'm struggling with this as I'm starting something brand new. It's like, I just want to fast pass through all the learning and growing and evolving. And I just want to be at the end result immediately. And that's not how life works for most mm-hmm. things.
Exactly. So yeah, it doesn't need to be perfect the first time. Like, do you guys think that the millionaires and billionaires of the world did everything perfectly from the get-go? Hell no.
Heck no.
Not everything, like nobody ever starts out being perfect. You don't ever create something new in your life.
I think of like an overnight success.
Yeah.
I think, again, social media can shine a light on that. And all of a sudden you see someone who is this quote unquote overnight success. And you think, dang, why would I even bother trying any of that? I'll never be as good as this person. And when you look behind the scenes of that person, they have failed time and time and time and time again.
Right.
And they continue to grow. They continue to evolve. They continue to become better at their craft, whatever it is that they're working on. And so then one day when they do come onto your radar, you see them at their, you know, their best, at their A game. But you don't get to see all of the failures that have come before that.
Right.
We all have that with everything that we're mm-hmm. doing.
I want you guys to start thinking of failure, not in a negative connotation, but in a positive one. Failure is an opportunity to learn and grow. Failure equals knowledge. That's it. Failure equals wisdom. Failure is, you know, if you put something out there and it doesn't go the way that you planned, it's just leading you in the right direction, in the direction that your evolved self is supposed to be walking down. It's not a bad thing, you guys. Failure is not a bad thing. And so, yeah, remember that too when you're diving into the perfectionist stuff. Take the leaps. Take the messy action. I want to talk, before we wrap this up, I want to say one more thing. So earlier I talked about wherever you go, there you are. And I want to give this example too, just in case you guys aren't thinking a little bit outside the box here. I totally watched my perfectionist tendencies start to come into, so I haven't been in a relationship in a while until I met my current significant other. We've been together for 8 months now, but I watched my old perfectionist tendencies start to creep into this relationship. So I had started to overcome the perfectionism in my business and in my work on myself, but I watched him creeping back in with him. So it was like, okay, I have to have, you know, the house looking perfect by the time he gets home to make him happy. Or I was telling Mary, I was getting ready for, well, okay, I shouldn't say this. Yeah, I'll give that example in a second. So I thought that things needed to be perfect in order to win his love over, which was totally false. He loves me for who I am. He knows what I'm capable of achieving. He knows that I'm amazing. If I don't have the dishes done by the time he gets home, he's not going to freak out. And I mean, I'm pretty good at that. So like, if I don't do it once or twice, he's not going to not love me anymore. Fuck. Even if I didn't do it ever, that wouldn't make him stop loving me. I know that for a fact, but I was being such a perfectionist for a while there. And then I started to drop it. And I started to do work around it, the internal work, so that I could make my relationship stronger. And the other day, Mary and I were on the phone and I was getting ready for his birthday, and old me would have wanted everything perfect and ready by the time he got home. House decorated, cake made, presents out, like the whole shebang. And I was a little behind that day and he was on his way home and I still didn't have the cake made. I was like about to start making it. And so old me would have, and I saw this starting to creep in, I would have been like really upset and anxious and stressed out because the cake wasn't done. And that would have put me in a low, negative, vibing state. And so by the time he walked in, you know, we wouldn't be able to enjoy the fact that I had decorated the house and had presents for him and whatnot. But instead I decided, you know what? It is what it is. This isn't going to make or break his birthday. He's just going to be really happy and excited that I'm making a cake for him in the first place, whether it's done or not. And maybe he'll even find it cute that he comes home to me baking. Like, mm-hmm. So I just dropped it and I'm like, it is what it is. And that made me so high vibing, so happy when he got home. Like, he walked in, he was so thrilled and so taken aback by the decorations and by me making a cake, and he was just so happy. And we had just such a loving and happy night because I was able to drop my perfectionist overachieving tendencies in the moment and just flow with life. And that made all the difference.
I love that so much. Such a good example of that. And that's a very real life example.
Yeah.
You know, that's not at work. That's not in a sports game. That's not in anything like that. But that is just a real life example that I'm sure so many can relate to. And I love that. And I'm proud of you for for not just making the strides that you've made, but for also taking the time to recognize them.
Right.
And so I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. So, you know, as you guys know, what we like to do is give you some real actionable steps to start making these shifts and making these changes. And I think one of the big ones that we touched on is just becoming aware and bringing that awareness to your own limiting beliefs that are causing your perfectionism and your overachieving, and identifying if it does come down to some of that mother or father wounding specifically. I think what we shared, it opened my eyes for sure to things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never thought of it that way. And again, this isn't to blame our mother and father for anything. Mm-hmm. It's just to bring a fresh awareness so that we can start to do the work internally to shift and grow. And then start small. So find some way that you can take messy action and see how it feels. See how it feels to let go of that need for things to be so perfect all of that time. And I think you'll be amazed at how like relieving it feels. Mm-hmm. Or just, it's like you said, a weight lifted off of your shoulders.
Yeah.
When you realize, oh dang, the world's not going to end or come to a screeching halt when I do something that's B minus,
yeah,
or good enough.
So I just want to throw some ideas out there for you guys. You can, if you've been wanting to share something that you are passionate about on social media, do it. Create the story, make the post. If you have an idea for your job or for the career you're in, send an email to your boss. Email her, give her all of the details of this new project that you want to create. If you've been wanting to take a stab at starting your own business, maybe it's a shirt business, make your first shirt, post about it, sell it to your mom. If you want to better your relationship, try to release some perfectionism there. Like, don't be such a perfectionist next time you guys plan a date night. Let him or her plan the date and just surrender to whatever he or she plans. Don't be a perfectionist and think that you have to look a certain way and do this, this, and that, and it has to go a certain way. Like, just surrender and let somebody else take the control for once. If you're starting to get into meditation, I love the self-help one and internal work stuff because so many people can be so hard on themselves when it comes to this. Do a meditation and surrender and release any expectation and release any need to be perfect in the meditation or in the breathwork practice, and just watch how it feels. And one more step I want to give you guys is to really start digging into this mother and father wounding thing. If you notice your perfectionist tendency starting to come up, picture your inner child, whatever age it is. Maybe you pull up some pictures of him or her and talk to her. Tell her that you see her and you love her. And if this isn't perfect, it doesn't matter. She's still going to be so freaking loved. So loved by mom, so loved by dad, and/or so loved in general by the universe, by God, by whatever you want to believe in. That has been the most transformative for me, is just talking to my inner child and healing this core wound and just knowing that I do not need to be perfect and I do not need to be an overachiever in order to be loved, in order to be good enough, in order to be worthy, in order to show up as my highest self, serving the world in the most profound way. And you don't either.
Hell yeah. You know what we haven't done in a while?
What?
We're going to do a perfectionist train, and we're going to share in our Facebook group what messy action we're going to take, or what we're going to surrender and let go of the need to be perfectionist about, because
that's a really good idea.
I've got a list of about 10 things I could probably put on there. So I think that'll be fun to bring the trains back.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll do a perfectionist train in the Facebook group. So if you're not in there, head to Facebook, type in Her Vibe Is Pretty Podcast, request to join the group, answer a couple of questions, and you'll be in. We've been having some amazing conversations. We have a book train going in there. One of our listeners started a book train, so that's been really fun. I'm going to go add a few after this. We would love it if you guys would screenshot this episode, share it on your Instagram stories, and tag us. Give us your feedback. Share it with the world.
We love to hear your takeaways of what you found very interesting, ways that you're going to apply the things that you've learned in this episode. That literally, Sarah and I get so hype every time people tag us on the podcast and their stories and stuff.
Yeah,
so
we do.
You guys are the best.
You are. We will talk to you in our Facebook group. We'll talk to you on Instagram. Have an amazing week, an amazing weekend. Nourish yourself. Take some time for stillness. I feel like with 4th of July, it's just everything's crazy. People are traveling, camping, doing this, doing that. My challenge for you guys the rest of this week is just to stop and find stillness at some point and enjoy every second of it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, we love you so much, and we will talk to you next week.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.